And I was so nervous to open for you at the Paramount. I was like, oh my God, I did so many deep breathing after.
Are you kidding?
No, I swear to you. I swear to you. This is.
I told you, Sal. I told you, Sal. Everybody loved you.
Hey, Anthony, where'd you get this podcasting stuff from?
It fell off the back of a truck.
So Vanessa Rachi, by the way. Welcome to the Breaking Bread podcast.
We're going to cut it in. You don't have to worry about it. Yeah. It's all going to be cut in nice.
Anthony, okay. Do you want to do this intro? I did yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Welcome to the Breaking Bread podcast. I'm back with my co-host, Sal the Voice.
How you doing?
And today we are here with Vanessa Rachi.
Ciao. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Vanessa, we were talking about how you are one of the best female jazz singers out there, in my opinion.
So nice.
And I have a very respected opinion amongst my peers.
You do? Yeah.
No, nobody gives a shit what I have to say.
No, I respect your opinion.
I want to know how, because Vanessa, you and I are about the same age. So how does someone so young have been bitten by this bug? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, and we have similar stories.
Yeah.
Where I grew up in Westchester, but a lot of people think that means I grew up fancy, but no, not the fancy area of Westchester. I grew up in the blue collar Italian section. And my grandparents lived with me in the basement apartment. My grandmother died when I was very young, but my grandfather lived to like 102.
Wow.
So he became like my best friend. I loved him.
Aww.
We had like very similar personalities, and he would call me his little celebrity. And he used to make me like frittata for Italian class and pick me up from school. And he would come to school in his car blasting Malavemana, and he'd be like, Vemana, da, da, da. I'm like, oh, grandpa's here, I gotta go. You know? And so that's how I learned all that music, because I grew up living with him, and he would play Dean Martin, Connie Francis, Lou Monti, Louis Prima, etc. And that's how I just learned it when I was really young.
So the old soul bug is real here.
Yeah.
The old soul bug is very real right now.
Yeah.
Anthony has a very similar relationship with his grandfather.
Literally, it's identical to what you just said.
I
picking me up from school every day, bringing me out. He would take me for pizza. That's why I was chubby. Pizza or like Wendy's. The same exact thing every day. Like, you know, typical old school Italian man.
I was chubby too, because it's all about like, you eat more if you love them, right?
Yeah.
And so, you don't like my pasta. You didn't eat
anxiety
it.
Anxiety provoking. Back to the anxiety.
Exactly.
What's the matter? You don't love a grandma?
Right. So I'd eat three bowls of pasta, and I thought I was a good girl, but I was a chubby good girl. I was like, look how good I am.
There's a funny story that I have that I always tell everyone. I think I told you yesterday. My nono, the one thing about him, he's blunt. He doesn't care. He's blunt as could be. If your feelings are hurt, it's way too bad. And when I was young, he'd be like, oh, you're getting fat. Like, he would just tell me. And as like a kid, I would be like upset. But then my nonna would put me in the corner and feed me Stella D'Or cookies.
Oh my God.
And be
God.
Like, it's okay. It's okay. Enjoy me.
That's like an emotional abuse cycle, right?
Yeah. It's like a vicious cycle. No, it's like you said, like, I wonder why I have problems with food. Like, when food gets put in front of me, it's very hard for me to resist.
We all do.
Yeah.
I have to tell my husband, like, don't buy it. Don't put it in the house. Don't put it on the table because I'll eat it.
Yeah.
I was like, can't see it. You know?
No, I listen. It's part of the fabric of who we are.
Yep.
You know, that's what every time someone would say, you know, oh, wow, you lost so much weight. And I'd be like, but it's okay that you were heavy. It's who we are.
Yeah.
I said, are we? I've been to Italy.
They're all skinny.
Yeah, they look like puppies fighting under a blanket. I don't know
literally.
About that. Yeah, literally. Yeah. So,
but I have to say, like, I'm lucky that I carry my weight all down here, which is kind of, it's trending, right? Like the badonkadonk. And I have all these
the
big
dresses.
Does that date me?
All about you.
No, I love it. No,
in the words of Meghan Trainor, you could say you're all about that bass.
It's all about the bass.
That's right.
No trouble. And then I have the big dresses that like hide it.
Yeah,
it works for me.
My anaconda don't.
Is that what that song's about?
What's that?
All about that bass. Is
yeah.
That the butt? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. She said, my
I'm
mom.
I'm bringing booty back.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Wow. Me and Roe are equally flabbergasted because I didn't know it was about
I love Megan Trainor.
She
Trainor.
Says, yeah,
my,
she's great.
My mama, she told me, don't worry about your size.
Wow.
Said, boys need a little more booty to hold at night.
Right.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Oh, there we go.
I love it.
That was very good.
Oh, thank you. That's my Megan Trainor impression.
Speaking of love, you know, obviously you grew up with this music and you fell in love with it because you associate it with the happy memories you have with your grandfather.
Yeah.
Which is a big part of it. It's not like you know, obviously you grew up a little musical, right? In school, was it something that was part of your early upbringing?
Yeah, it's so funny because no one in my family sings or plays an instrument.
Yeah, me too.
So it kind of came out of nowhere. But I started when I was 4 years old. Whitney Houston was really popular, and I started singing "The Greatest Love of All." And my parents were like, "What? A 4 year old is singing this song?" And I was like, "I believe the children are future." And I would just like sing the whole song. And they were like, "Oh, she's got something." And they put me into theater, and then I started doing professional theater and yada yada. So.
You were doing professional theater while you were still of school age.
Yeah, I was age 12. Yeah, I got paid to perform, which was great. Yeah.
What was the first show you were in?
The Christmas Carol, was that it? I think it was The Christmas Carol.
Wow.
And they had like a hydraulic on the stage. And so I had to come up from underneath the stage. I was supposed to be the angel singing. And I was so terrified I was going to fall every night because they didn't have me in a harness or anything. I was just standing there as the thing went like up.
Wow. That's
it was cool.
I could see you being in Greece. I could completely see you being in Greece.
You were in Greece?
Maudie. Yeah.
See,
really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can completely see you being in Greece.
Freddie, my love, I miss you more than... <we're just laughs>
I'm obsessed with Greece, by the way.
Really?
Completely.
Oh, me too. I love it.
Rosemary knows this firsthand.
Me too.
What was your favorite musical that you were ever in?
I have to say Phantom because I did win a Helen Hayes Award for my role in as Christine, and the music is
you played
so
Christine?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had a big wig. But
I did a competition where I had to be Raul.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool.
Christine and Raul.
I'm lost.
We can do all I ask of you.
Oh.
I'm lost. I'm just going to go like this.
I know.
I'm lost.
I just became 5% more, you know.
Oh,
Christine and Raul.
I love it.
Yeah, I left my bandana at home. Or a scarf.
You got one in the back.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
One constant theme of this podcast that Sal and I have talked about with pretty much everyone so far is everyone is completely self-made. Like, you know, there is some story where, like, you know, I quit this job or I took this risk. I took this chance for something that we, like, believe in that probably would be, like... It probably would be like considered like a risk to most like Italian parents.
Absolutely.
Like a big jump.
A leap of faith.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's so funny you say that because my story is very much related to that. So I grew up singing my whole life. I did professional theater at the age of 12. I won a Helen Hayes at the age of 18. I was always getting like lead roles in every play, yada, yada, going on auditions. And then when I told my parents I wanted to be a singer for a living, they said, oh, no, that's not a real job. That's just a hobby.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was kind of like the record scratch. Like, wait, what? What do you mean? Like, what am I supposed to do now? And so they're like, go to school for business. They saw the people in the fancy cars in Westchester worked in marketing and business. And they're like, so do that. Because then you'll be secure. You won't have to depend on a man kind of thing.
You could walk right into Audi of Larchmont.
Exactly. So my mom was like, oh, you should just work at PepsiCo one day because PepsiCo was in purchase. And it's so funny. I wound up fulfilling that dream. And I went to school for marketing, worked my way up, became like a marketing executive at PepsiCo. I worked there for 11 years. I had a team of people underneath me and everything.
Wow.
And I had like giant bonuses and my parents were so proud. But there was always like something missing. Like every time I communicated my bonus to my parents, they were like, yay. And I was like, yay. But something in me was like, but it's still not fulfilling. Like, it's just, I know this sounds terrible, but it's just money, you know?
Right.
And no, it doesn't sound terrible.
Wow.
I don't think it sounds terrible.
You worked at PepsiCo for 11 years out of college.
Yes.
Do you age in reverse? Like, is that
I do. Yeah, I do.
You spent 11 years at this job. There had to be something you enjoyed about it.
I mean, I was good at it. the money was great, and I was using the money to fund my first album. Right. So
you were still, you always had one foot in the water.
I always continued to perform simultaneously, and I didn't tell my day job about my night job, and I didn't tell my night job about my day job because I was worried they neither would take me seriously.
Like Batman.
That's true, because there is crossover with that. So that was very smart of you to do.
So I kind of hit it, and I wound up recording my first album, Italiana Fresca, in 2017 in honor of my grandfather, and it reinvented Italian classics that he taught me with modern jazz arrangements. That's when I first met you in Rochester, I think.
Yeah. So you were just fresh on the scene.
I was fresh on the scene.
That is incredible.
Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, that imagine having stepped away from something for so long. And being so, and this is how you could tell. This is how you could tell. It's not, I'm not just gassing her up. Being so good at it, seriously, that you come back and you're back. You're fully there. On the scene.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, of course, I worked hard. I was like, I worked with a vocal coach and I trained every day. I worked with my Uncle John from Napoli to get the Italian accent right. Like, I was really working.
Yeah, but there is a lot of natural ability that goes
into it.
True, yeah. And especially, we go back to live performance.
Mm-hmm.
You have this aura and this energy about you that just, I mean, obviously, you're a Helen Hayes recipient. You have a theater background, so there's that. Obviously, once that's in you, it doesn't go away. But there is a tremendous natural ability that lends itself to your resurgence and success.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I was born with natural talent. You do have to hone it, because I'm a voice teacher as well. And so people come to me and they're like, oh, if you're not born with natural talent, can you sing? Absolutely. You can build a voice just like you can build any muscle.
Right. There's a chance.
Yeah. Yes.
Wait, you're serious?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a chance, bro.
You just have to work on it every day. That's the common denominator. Whether you're born with natural talent or not, in order to improve your voice, you just have to exercise every day. It's like, it's a muscle. You're exercising them. They're just very small little muscles and you're exercising them.
I used to deny the opportunity to randomly sing places just because, you know, it's like, well, if I'm not getting paid, you know, should I just get up and open my mouth? But I don't do that anymore because I realize the importance of continuing, just do it every opportunity you have.
Sure.
To vocalize.
Absolutely. But you should get paid. Like, no one should work for free.
I do.
Make a living. Like,
I do. But I mean, like, random, you know, hey, Sal, you want to get up and do a song? I don't say no. I go, sure.
Right.
You know, if the conditions are right.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. I go, sure.
That's nice of you.
Well, it's nice of me. it's because of that. You want to keep exercising that muscle and keep at it.
Yep.
I actually have a prediction.
Yes.
I have to cut you off. I just don't want to forget.
Please.
I actually have like a prediction. I know it sounds nuts. I've told you this off like camera, but she's going to be in like a movie one day.
Oh,
she
that's
has
my dream.
This perfectly casted look.
Thank you.
And I'm telling you, she's gonna be like one of those war girls in like a 40s movie, like when they're going off to war, like or something. I don't know. I just see it. I completely see it.
Or like I want to be in like the jazz, like in the jazz club or a Copacabana,
in like the 20s. Yeah, really cool.
I was in The Irishman. I think I told you that.
Yes,
yeah, which is really cool.
Oh, really?
I keep on forgetting that every time you tell me she was in The Irishman.
Yeah, like background, but still.
That's so cool.
I was like featured background.
You were in a Scorsese movie.
Scorsese
eventually is going to expire, and there's only going to be a certain amount of Scorsese movies made, and you're in one of them.
It was a dream come true because I was on set for 14 hours with Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, Bobby Cannavale, Harvey Keitel, Ray Romano, and we're all talking like we were friends. I mean,
wait, you were
Robert
talking
De Niro.
With all of
them? Robert De Niro doesn't speak. Yeah, Joe Pesci was hanging out. He came over to everybody's table and was like, how's it going? How's the steak? Because we were in a restaurant scene. And he's like, is it cold? You don't want to eat too much of that. It was sitting in the back for too long kind of thing. Like, Ray Romano came over and he's like, hey, how's it going, guys? Like, isn't this crazy? We're on the set with Robert De Niro. Because he was, like, his mind was blown that he was on set with Robert De Niro.
And right.
The only person who didn't speak to us was Bobby. They called him
Bob.
Because he's very, very focused, very much a method actor, and he has to stay in the zone, and he doesn't make eye contact. I finally was able to make eye contact with him at the 14th hour when everyone was tired. Joe Pesci was like laying in the booth sleeping, and I was like, and he finally smiled, and he smiled at me, and I was like, yes, I got to smile.
What did Al Pacino do?
So, oh, he wasn't in that scene.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't in that scene, unfortunately, so I didn't meet him. But a lot of great ones were in the scene. So.
Wow, you're in The Irishman.
That's really cool. I'm getting like goosebumps.
Thank you. And they picked me out like from a row of girls because I looked so 50s, and I don't have any plastic surgery, so I look more like natural, and I'm pale, so it was good.
You know? Well, that's what I'm talking about. There's a reason why they pick that, and I just have it stuck in my head as someone who wants to be like a filmmaker. Like, I'd cast you right away. Like, you fit that role.
Thank you.
Perfectly.
I appreciate that. Hear that, casting directors? No.
If you were to play a jazz singer,
yes,
in a movie, in a biopic,
yeah,
who would it be and why?
Great question, Seth.
Oh my God! Thank you. Wow. Geez, so it's hard because the people I would like to play, I don't really look like them.
That doesn't matter.
I mean, so obviously I want to play Connie Francis. She's not a jazz singer, but I would love to play Connie Francis, and I'm trying to work on making that a Broadway show. We'll talk about that later. But like Doris Day, Lena Horne, obviously Ella Fitzgerald's my favorite, but I could never play her for obvious reasons. Edie Gourmet, I could probably pull off an Edie.
Rosemary Clooney, maybe?
Rosemary Clooney, oh, love her. Yeah. But they were all blondes, you know. But I could
dye
my hair.
That's hair.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't pull off Ella Fitzgerald for more reasons than hair.
You think, you know. But yeah, definitely Rosemary's a famous one of mine, a favorite one of mine. Doris Day. Yeah, Connie Francis, who else?
But you got to pick one.
Oh,
all three.
Oh, I know. Okay, if I'm going to pick one, it's going to be, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting her name. Louis Prima, Keeley Smith. She has one of my favorite voices, and we kind of looked similar. We had the dark-haired bob, and she plays very deadpan, you know.
You hear that, John Viola? Keeley Smith. We found our Keeley Smith.
That's right, Keeley Smith, yeah.
So John Viola asked me the same question the other day, and we figured Louis Prima. He asked me the question.
Yes.
And there's so many things I love about Louis Prima. I had so many reasons. What do you love about Keeley Smith?
Well, I love the shtick that she had with Louis, and that they created this really one-of-a-kind show that doesn't exist today.
Right.
It was improvisation. It was acting. It was comedy. They had a real relationship in real life, so it was very believable, and it was like a perfect example of Italian America on stage.
Right, a real
it
chemistry,
was so
a real
cool.
Yeah,
so cool.
It's like you had an eye into their relationship.
Yeah,
playing out on stage.
Yes, it was so cool. I loved it. Oh, and a little funny story: Jerry Bruno used to play with them a lot, a legendary bassist, and I was fortunate enough to sing at a jazz club with Bucky Pizzarelli, the guitarist.
Wow.
And Jerry Bruno was there, but I didn't know it was Jerry Bruno at the time. And I walked in, and the owner of the restaurant was like, "Hey, Vanessa, guess what?" I'm like, "What, Arnie?" He's like, "The bassist wants to sleep with you." I'm like, "Ew." I was like, "Ew." And he's like, "It's Jerry Bruno, and he's 90. I'm like, "Aw." Like, my reaction just changed.
Ew. Aw.
Wow.
It was fun. But yeah, I would love to just, I love that whole supper club. I know you love that vibe too.
Me too.
That era. And people sometimes tell me like, why do you still do this? Like, you're stuck in a time warp. Why don't you do modern stuff? And I'm just like, no, I really love this stuff.
But
like,
who's going to do this?
Exactly. We have to carry the torch.
Speaking of your performance career.
Yes.
As of to date. What is your favorite? What has been your best experience performing live?
Oh my God, best experience! So this is going to sound like a brown nose, but it's totally not. It was opening for you at the Paramount.
Are you
because
kidding?
There were so many people there, and they really loved it. Like, I don't think I've performed in front of that many Italian Americans who in a theater And it's the experience of the theater is just unlike any other. Like, imagine like having 400 people out there, like all clapping. It was just, the energy was really cool. Like, I've performed at festivals and stuff, but you know, they're eating sausage and pepper. They're walking around. They're not like 100% paying attention to you. And so that was really, really cool.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's tremendous. I mean, that's where you belong in a very meaningful way. And I know I keep going back to when we first started this conversation, but you have that. That's your energy. Is you have this great performer energy. Now I know where it comes from. You have a musical theater background, and you really have a way of capturing the crowd that I don't think a lot of people have the ability to do, especially people who stepped away for 10 years to do life.
Yeah.
Were you married at the time when you left?
Actually, it was my husband who encouraged me to leave.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, and because when we first met, we were very young. He didn't know I was a singer. And I said, he's like, what do you like to do? I'm like, oh, I like to sing. And he's like, oh, me too. I sing around the campfire with my family and in the shower. And I'm like, well, it's a little different with me. and then we went to like karaoke and I sang At Last, I think it was. And he was like, oh, shit, you can really sing. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, why aren't you doing this full time? And I was like, well, because it's more of a hobby. You know, my parents said it's not a real job. And he's like, no, you have to do this. And he pushed me to book shows while I was in corporate America. And he's like, your goal is to do 10 this year. And then I booked 20.
Wow.
The next year I booked 40. And then it just became
There was no way I could like this guy more.
Aww. He is pretty great.
That's amazing.
He is pretty great. And it got to the point where I was an executive at PepsiCo. I had a team of people underneath me. I had 40 bookings, 40 to 50 a year, traveling around the country. So like I would, you know, close my laptop on Friday and then get on a plane and then come back on Monday, and it was just so much on my body. Like, I got bronchitis 4 times that year because PepsiCo is like a 9 to 8 kind of job. It's very competitive, very cutthroat, and a lot of work. And Joe was complaining that he doesn't see me enough, and we didn't have like a connection. And he's like, "You've got to make a change." And I was like, "I think then it's giving up PepsiCo because I can't give up my singing career. It would kill me." And he's like, all right, I'll support you while you get on your feet the first however long it takes. And we did it.
I love hearing stories like that.
Thanks.
I love because at the end of the day, like to have someone in your corner who really believes, it makes all the difference.
It really does. It really does. And he's literally, you see him, he comes to every show.
Every show
with
he's there.
My backpacks. And he sets up all my equipment. Sometimes we bring the speaker system and he has to lug.
Oh, yeah. Dunga Din.
Yeah.
I see him walking to and from the car in the rain, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, so he travels with you to every show?
Yeah.
Most of
the ones, I guess, that he can make it to. But
he is
right there with her.
Wow.
She gets out of the car. He moves her wardrobe in, everything. He's
That's really sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's more than that. He really does believe in you. He really does believe in this.
He does.
Which leads me to the question. What did your parents have to say?
Oh, yeah. So, mind you, I was making $200,000 a year when I left.
$200,000?
Yeah. And they were like, I was like, okay, so I think I've decided I'm going to leave PepsiCo. Because I was still doing well in my singing career. I was booking 40 shows a year. I was like, I think it's time. Joe and I talked about it. And they were just like, quiet. And I was like, how do you feel? They're like, oh, I don't know. How are you going to feel making less money? You're not used to that. And I don't know. It's scary. And what if this? What if that? What if that? I'm like, guys, you see how tenacious I am. Just trust me. You see how talented. Like, it's not just talent. I'm also a business person. You know, like, I'm business minded. You see what I've done with Italian jazz and like,
and you're not
very niche.
You're not an impractical person.
Right. Exactly.
You've thought about this. Exactly. You got it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm going to.
You know, you have bills to pay and all that.
Right. Right. And I'm like, I'll teach on the side, like, as a backup. And they were still like really skeptical. And it was so funny. Like, my dad called me on the like on the side after. I think my mom was just scared because she's a woman. And she's like, I don't want you to ever depend on a man, which I understand because in her generation, they didn't go to college and they have to depend on the guy. So I think she was scared. But my dad called me like after that conversation, like on the sly. And he was like, Nunu, I like what you're doing. Keep going.
Nunu?
That's my nickname, Nunu.
Really?
And then my mom came around eventually. Now she's like, oh, you're doing great. But she was scared, and I can understand that as a female.
I firmly believe, 100%, and you can tell your parents this, I believe that the way to be more successful is to actually be an entrepreneur, which is what you're doing. Yeah. It's entrepreneurial. At the end of the day, that's the way to make the most money, because you'll have more freedom of life. You'll have, you already made it, but if you make it even bigger than you already do now, it'll end up being more than PepsiCo.
Yeah, hopefully.
So, yeah.
That'd be great.
Well, you match that drive,
yeah,
and that, you know, like you said, it's a very cutthroat business, and here you are very quickly rising to the top of that. So sure. Obviously the mentality is there.
Right.
You know, you're sharp, it's just that you got it. Now you can really run with it, because you have something that when you rise to the top of a marketing position, middle management at a big corporation, you have something that a lot of people don't have. You have either some sort of natural ability or some sort of inborn drive,
right,
to get somewhere that they just can't, to break through something that they can't.
It's true.
Now you really have something in your vocal talent that a lot of people do not have. You already have this leg up. And then on top of that, this entrepreneurial spirit, this fight, this drive.
Yeah.
And that's really what you need.
Thank you.
And a little bit of luck.
Ego boost, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, true. A little bit of luck. Yes, exactly.
But
yeah.
you've had that. Speaking of which, it's brought you, besides the Irishman, besides in acting roles, it's brought you around so many other successful people. You just are coming off of an event with Catherine Narducci.
Yes, yeah.
Tell us about this.
Yeah, and this is so funny how we met. We met in the pandemic because I fell in love with her painting of Judy Garland. Because a lot of people don't know she's a beautiful,
very talented painter.
Very talented artist, actress, producer, writer, etc. And I kept messaging her on Instagram, and we were Instagram friends because she was following me. She liked what I did with the Italian American music. I was following her, and I was like, so is that Judy still available? How much is it? Is that Judy still available? How much is it? And I kept following up, and she's like, you obviously really want it, so I will sell it to you. And she was bored during the pandemic, so she literally drove it to my house in Ossining. She's like, I just want to see where other people live. She's like, I'll take it to you. I was like, really? I'm like, Catherine Narducci is going to drive to my house? And it was so funny. And we just bought a new house, and she came, and it was my first painting. I hung it up, and that's how we met. And then I like to produce a lot of events as well in Italian America. And one event I produced I did the fifth annual version this year that Rosemarie filmed was Festa della Donna, the Festival of the Woman for International Women's Day. And I just celebrated Italian American females who are promoting the culture through the arts, like dancers, comedians, spoken word, opera, me. And I asked if she would be our guest of honor because she is a really powerful Italian American female in, the world of film and acting and art. And she was also the very first female grand marshal in San Gennaro.
Yes.
Did you know that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool. I can't believe they never had a female grand marshal before. I was like, what?
Too many guys waiting in that line.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
I can believe it.
Too many guys were owed that position.
Way too many favors. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure. That's true.
And one thing that you really hit home with, and that hit home with me about your event, I really wish I could have been there. I was actually away at a friend's bachelor party. But I feel like Italian American girls are very underrepresented.
Yes.
100%, especially in the influencing, world that we're in.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very male dominated. And trust me, I'm not and I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm not a social justice warrior in any way.
Right.
So for me to say that, it really means I believe it. So
yeah,
I really love what you did.
Of the Italian clubs, the Columbus Citizens Foundation, for example, they have their very first female president, Marion Pardo. In however many years they've been.
Really?
Yeah.
Right? I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So all the Italian establishments are still very male, heavy. But that's another reason why I do what I do, because I want to break through as an influencer in the Italian American community. So
I love it. I love it. We need more of it because it's also positive.
Thank you. Yeah. I try.
Are you planning more events that we could look out for as far as this goes?
Thank you for asking, Sal. So in addition to my Italian jazz stuff, I also do jazz proper and a lot of other tangential kind of shows. So April is Jazz Appreciation Month. And so I am doing a Prohibition jazz show on April 6th at Chelsea Table and Stage, which is a beautiful new venue. They opened in the pandemic, I believe, in New York City on 26th Street. And it's going to be like the rise of jazz and the story of Prohibition, like through the 20s and 30s music. It's really fun, really swanky. Of course, I dress in flapper attire because I love getting dressed in costume as a thespian. and then I also have an April 12th show at the Poli Club at the Palace Theater in West Waterbury, Connecticut. and that's going to be a 7 and a 9 p.m. performance with my jazz trio. So come out and check it out. It'll be fun.
And you'll also be performing at the NIEF Gala.
Yes. On Thursday, April 18th, I was invited for the first time to perform at the NIEF Gala in New York City. I performed in Washington, D.C. back in 2017 or 18. So I'm super excited to perform for the first time in New York City at Cipriani's.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Big venue, a lot of eyes.
Yeah.
You might get discovered there.
I'm so scared, but I'm excited.
Are you recording anytime soon?
Recording a new album?
Yeah.
So I'm still kind of like trying to recover from my 2022 Jazzy Italian album. Because, you know, each one is like 40,000 each. I haven't figured out a way to do it cheaper unless like you're married to a sound engineer. Maybe I should do that. but anyway, so my next one, I'm thinking of diving deep into the Harry Warren songbook, because I just did a Harry Warren tribute and met his great-grandson from L.A., and he was born Salvatore Antonio Guaragna in Brooklyn, New York.
Wow.
And he was a very prolific Italian-American composer. He was like the equivalent of Gershwin, and people don't know of him. Like, he wrote At Last. He wrote I Only Have Eyes for You, Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Really?
42nd Street. Oh, yeah. It's like an 800-song, like, repertoire. And so I did a tribute with him at the Columbus Citizens Foundation. And so I think I want to do my next album just diving deep into his music. And then I have another idea just doing like the ladies of jazz as well. So
how do you decide on a theme for a record?
That's a great question, Sal. I've been fortunate in that it sort of just comes to me. So I was touring when I was at PepsiCo with a jazz trio, and I would sing like a repertoire of just jazz standards. Like, I had like 100 to 150 deep list of songs that I learned, which was a great experience to get my jazz chops. But then when my grandfather died shortly thereafter, you know, we were best friends, so I missed him, and I was inspired to do something that had a little bit more personal meaning to me. And so I decided to, I was actually driving my car singing Al di là, and I was like, Al di là del bene più prezioso. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to reinvent the classic songs that grandpa taught me with jazz arrangements. And that gave birth to my album Italiana Fresca. And then when I was touring the country with that album, I performed in New Orleans, which I love so much. And I learned how deep the roots are with Italian Americans and jazz. And so I decided to take that song and record that in a refreshed way. And then I just go through history with all the Italian Americans in jazz that made their mark, like Henry Mancini, Harry Warren, Louis Prima, Chick Corea, people don't know he was Calabrese, John Pizzarelli, etc. And that was my second album, Jazzy Italian. And from that, I learned how much Harry Warren did, and then that's leading to the next album. So it's kind of like it just comes to me as I go through. Yeah,
I want to go to New Orleans.
It's one of my favorite places. It's like the place for jazzy Italians.
Is it like dangerous me, as people I feel. Say?
So the city proper has gone down a little bit, just like New York City, and there's a lot of carjackings, a lot of theft, robberies, shootings, and stuff. Yes.
As long as you don't drive a Hyundai, Kia, or Dodge V8 Dodge powered, you know, V8 powered Dodge car, you're good. Yeah. You're not going to get your car stolen.
But if you just take like an Uber from one destination to the next, don't wander down any shady side streets, right, you'll be fine.
Take
you know?
A page out of my book. Drive a 20-year-old Lincoln Town car and you won't get robbed.
That's right. Yep. Cool.
All right, so, Vanessa.
Yes.
This has been fabulous.
Thank you. Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't want it to end. I want to see you again.
Oh,
where
yes.
can I go?
Yay!
If I am looking to see Vanessa Racci perform.
If you want to see me perform, you can go to my website at vanessaracci.com, which is VanessaRacci.com, and you can see my show schedule, or you can sign up for my mailing list so that you find out when I'm performing. My parents' friends always say, oh, just call me. I can't do that with everyone, unfortunately, so please sign up for my mailing list. Or you can follow me on Instagram, Spotify, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, at Vanessa Racci, and listen to my music. You can buy it on Amazon. You can get a physical CD if you still have a CD player, or just get the MP3s. And I'm fine if you listen to it on Spotify too, as long as you're listening.
On behalf of myself, Anthony Rowe, we appreciate you coming on the Breaking Bread podcast.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. This was so much fun.
There's going to come a day where you're going to be in the movies. I'm telling you.
I love
you.
This.
I'm gonna yeah. say it again. You never yes. know. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
How many Scorsese movies have you been in?
I love this. We're going to put it out there. We're going to manifest it, and it'll happen. Yes,
yeah, sure. You're already there, Vanessa.
Thank you, Sal.
We're glad to have known you
This is great. The best ego boost ever.